Hi guys, this is going to be an off-the-cuff video, which is not my usual way of working, but I just wanted to weigh in on this mainstream media attention that MGTOW has been getting. There's a few people that have already made some videos about it, Nico Chosky and CS MGTOW, of course. I just really wanted to sort of throw my two cents in on it, because I think there is a few things to be discussed about it. Before I really get into the commentary on the media, I want to relay an anecdote that happened to me last week just to provide some context for my position on this. So last week, I went out to a pub after work with a couple of friends. The pub itself is a bastion of the regressive left. So you can imagine the type of people that usually patron this establishment. You know, hippie dreadlocks and, you know, brightly coloured happy pants. Every one of them's an activist for some bullshit or another. So I guess you could say we were behind enemy lines. My two friends, one of them is very red pill and the other is very blue pill. Now, during the conversation, my red pill friend stated that he didn't buy into white ribbon. He thought the whole white ribbon and domestic violence racket was, you know, bullshit, basically. And I, you know, I chimed in and agreed with him. You know, my position is basically, you know, I've never hit a woman, but I've definitely been smacked in the face by a fair few myself. And, you know, we all know the statistics about reciprocal violence and the such like. But the blue pill friend started getting visibly agitated. And he was saying, you know, he basically snapped at one point and said, no, there's no reason to hit a woman at all. And we went into the usual debate about how, you know, if someone's attacking you, you have the right to defend yourself. And his position was that, no, men are so much stronger. You know, there's a way to protect yourself without necessarily hitting her back or anything, which I find to be, you know, MGTOW gets accused of being misogynist. But in my opinion, that's really the most sexist position to take, because there's really no way to maintain that position without essentially believing that women are children that need to be protected from themselves. Like if someone's attacking you and your main concern is how to calm them down without hurting them, that's how we treat children. You know, that's how we treat children throwing a tantrum. But women aren't children. Women are adults. And, you know, in grown-up land, if you're an adult who violently places their hands on another individual, you know, you'd best be fucking prepared for the consequences. So anyways, that's the direction the conversation took, and that was where my friend, my blue pill friend, really snapped. He started raising his voice saying, oh, so you think it's okay to hit a woman? You think it's okay to hit women? And my red pill friend was like, come on, mate, you know, keep your voice down. It's just a chat between friends. And he was like, no, 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 I think we should talk loudly so that everyone around can hear, they can hear your position that you think it's okay to beat women. Essentially what happened is we got to a point where we couldn't reach an agreement. He didn't like my position, so he resorted to essentially mob mentality. He basically tried to invoke the potential violence of others to basically silence me and force me to agree with his position. And it is an invocation of violence. I mean, you only have to look at the way, you know, what's been happening to George Lailer recently after he publicly refused to attend an affirmative consent class. You know, he's being violently harassed when he goes out in public. What my blue pill friend really did was basically, you know, threaten my personal safety for not agreeing with him, taking a contrary position to the mainstream narrative. Now, I bet you guys are all sitting here, you know, absolutely seething at that anecdote. And I must say that on the night this happened, I went home and I was absolutely ropeable. I was furious that my friend had done this. But, you know, it is, whilst I was very angry about it, it is worth understanding the thought process behind the blue pill male that acts like that. During the conversation, I flat out asked this friend of mine, if he was on the deck of the Titanic, did he think it was fair that women would get a place on the lifeboat and he would be expected to die on deck because vagina? And he straight up said, that is a chivalrous thing to do. There is honor in that. Now, if you take away anything from this video, I think that is the most important thing to take away. There's really no other way to describe it. In that context, some of these blue pill men really are religious extremists who are prepared to die for their deity. You know, that mate of mine, he is prepared to go down on the Titanic for chivalrous honor. And with that in mind, you have to understand there is no reasoning with these people. There is no middle ground to be reached. Now, with that anecdotal context established, I want to move on to, I guess, my problems with the discussions about mainstream media. My point of making this video isn't even necessarily to talk about the coverage that MGTOW has recently been getting in the mainstream. It's really more of a commentary on the general direction that the mainstream media seems to be going in right now. I'm starting to see more and more of these articles trying to take, you know, a middle ground position. I suspect that the reason is the left is really starting to struggle under the weight of its own tone policing and social justice censorship. In a way, the social justice movement has really kind of become an autoimmune disease of the left, where people on the political left can no longer discuss issues without being attacked by people from their own side for not being, you know, culturally sensitive enough. A perfect example of this would be the movie Stonewall that came out earlier this year. There you have Roland Emmerich, a gay director who wants to make a movie about the gay rights movement of the 70s, and, you know, he's appealing to that crowd. But the only thing that the target audience spoke about was how racist the movie was because, you know, whilst being about the, you know, a good movie about the gay rights movement, it wasn't, you know, ethnically diverse enough. As a result, you have a movie, you know, with a budget of $14 million that absolutely flops at the box office, only taking in $170,000 because, you know, the target audience of social justice warriors completely shit all over it. You know, this is why the left can't have nice things. So I'm seeing more and more articles that are trying to address this growing problem of the left, where they're getting so bogged down in their own activism that they can't actually address the issues that activism is supposed to be solving. And I think it's within that context that a lot of these ostensibly pro-male or MGTOW articles are being written, which means I think we need to be really careful about the fine print that's actually being published. CS MGTOW's recent video, the pro-male mainstream media, pointed this out with excellent precision regarding coverage of the George Lala story about how universities have become hostile towards men. On the surface, the article appears to be pro-male. It discusses some of the problems that men and boys face in education. But as CS points out, whilst it appears to be pro-male on the surface, the article subtly makes a distinction between the types of men that we should be helping. And when it comes down to that definition of what makes a good man, you know, the type of man we should be helping, it seems to be very much based on the ideas of a good man according to feminism. You know, we can't have any of this toxic masculinity. Now, CS has already largely covered the Layla issue, and I think he did an excellent job. Links in the description. Go and watch his video if you haven't done so already. The article that I want to cover in my video is one that I read yesterday called "If Activists Want Real Change, They Must Ditch the Dying Cat." Now, the article is basically about the idea that there are some issues that, frankly, are already solved. But for some reason, activists continue to bring up those solved issues as a way of derailing political conversation on issues that are currently relevant. Now, as an aside, I think, you know, the problem is evident in the article's title, that I really don't think activists want real change. If you look at modern activists like Anita Sarkeesian, they don't make their money on change. They make their money on continued controversy. So if you ask me, that's why these issues keep being brought up, but I digress. The main issue that gets talked about in this article is female genital mutilation, female circumcision. Now, as barbaric as that practice is, it's really not a huge issue in the West. But, you know, the issue keeps getting brought up by certain activists about, you know, look at how, you know, oppressed and violently attacked women are in our society. It's not really our society, though. It's an issue half a world away in Africa and the Middle East. If these so-called activists really want to affect change on issues that are relevant to the West, they really have to stop bringing up, you know, female circumcision as a point of contention for modern society. Everyone in the West is in agreement. It's a shitty practice. It's illegal here. Let's move on. Now, the problem should be, you know, self-evident to most of you guys that despite the fact that female genital mutilation being irrelevant is mentioned a number of times in this article, it makes no reference to the fact that, you know, circumcision of infant males is still a legally permissible practice in Australia and the UK and the US. Infant male genital mutilation is an issue in the West today. In an article ostensibly about focusing on the issues that are relevant, in an article that focuses on the fact that female genital mutilation is a red herring that's not relevant to Western society, there is no mention of the fact that circumcision of infant males is a practice that is still going on today. And I suspect the reason for that is given later on in the very same article. I want to read what I think is the relevant excerpt to explain what's going on. Quote, "The biggest dying cat of all is International Men's Day, which seems only to exist so people can have arguments about how feminists aren't paying enough attention to it. State the simple fact that men's issues exist, suicide rates, mental health, paternity leave, violent masculinity, and intense hatred some people feel for gay men's sexuality, and you're on a one-way train to Nobody Caresville. But imply that there is an international feminist conspiracy to ban all discussion on these subjects, and hey presto, you've got yourself a forum full of men in fedoras nodding in fervent agreement." End quote. You see, gentlemen, this is the issue right here. She rattles off a whole bunch of issues that, you know, men face, but then she kind of groups in, you know, violent masculinity and homophobia, and then claims that, you know, anybody who wants to discuss male issues outside of the context of male issues as defined by feminism is a creepy fedora-wearing loser on the internet. See, this is a perfect example of one of the many articles I've been seeing lately that ostensibly claims to be searching for some middle ground that we can find so that we can go back to having a balanced discussion. But when you actually read the article, it's very much about we can have a balanced discussion as long as it's a balanced discussion as defined by us. What this article is the mainstream media version of Big Red telling everyone, feminism is fixing your problems, so just shut the fuck up. This is where we come back to the anecdote that I relayed at the start of the video. My blue pill friend is not some exception to the rule. You know, his religious devotion to the female is, you know, that is the social narrative. We are living in a theocracy, and under that theocracy, the mainstream is never going to, you know, publish graven images of our deity, the female. I suspect that as the left continues to struggle more and more under its own weight of tone policing and concern trolling and self-censorship, more of these articles are going to come out about how, you know, we're finding it harder and harder to talk about issues. But you have to understand that these articles that ostensibly look for a middle ground, ostensibly try to find a balanced discussion point, ostensibly address male issues and, you know, in some way vaguely explore the MGTOW phenomenon, you know, the media is not our friend. The mainstream media is Big Red disguised as a journalist. All I'm saying is pay attention to the wording, pay attention to the fine print and the subtext, and be very wary of calling any of these articles that cover MGTOW or, you know, more broadly men's issues, be very wary of calling any of these articles fair and balanced. From what I've seen, despite all the rhetoric about wanting to reopen some kind of honest dialogue on these issues, the subtext still seems to be very much about having a dialogue that absolutely conforms to the currently accepted social narrative. And in that narrative, the issues of men still really just don't matter.